Yes, said the angel, you did not want to do it again in that way, but you found another way to get something, to get what gave you joy, your money. Yes, that was how they saw all my mistakes, and it was still not enough. They also told me about this and that conversation that had been heard at the table in the presence of the children and that a father should not have in front of his children. And many hours of disagreement that I had with my wife were also shown to me. So, I saw again everything that I had done wrong, and in the end, when all of that had passed me by, I had to say to myself, do I really deserve heaven? I have done so many things wrong. I had the feeling that heaven was so infinitely far away from me when I was a human being that, even though I was a Christian and even though I prayed and went to church, I still had no closer connection to heaven, that I still lacked faith, conviction. I regretted that, because I saw it, and I said it to the angel, you see, there was nothing that could particularly convince me to believe in heaven. Even though there were many good people who, like my parents, lived well and justly and did many good deeds, I thought that there were certain people who could do this. But those who believe they have a flair for business often do not find it right. They then distance themselves from this intimacy. They distance themselves from the divine. But if someone is strong enough to carry out their work honestly, then that will also be a reward for them. If they are honest and loyal to everyone in their work and they are clear about it, does the spirit world of God now consider my actions understandable, normal, or does it think that I am taking advantage of this or that person? If you take advantage of others, then the spirit world also steps in. I had no idea about this. I believed that heaven did not care how much I sold my goods for, heaven could be indifferent to that if I, as a human being, fulfilled my duties and my environment. Now I had to see that heaven was interested in the smallest things that had happened in my life. Then they said, before you can visit your parents, the path to purification begins. First of all, your feelings and your views must be changed somewhat. We have been fair with you. We have told you what we don't like about your life, but also what we find great joy and pleasure in. You see, you could have achieved much more. And they pointed to those events. If I had given something to that beggar, if I had given him a coat, if I had supported that blind man, if I had supported that brother-in-law, then, they said, I would not be here, but much higher up, and that was a pity. But now I am here and must now go through my purification from here, so that next time I can live better and be stronger, have greater knowledge and know exactly what to do and what not to do. They told me further that they had to teach me about it for a long time so that I would understand that earthly goods do not have the same value as spiritual goods. They explained to me that now, as a spirit, I also recognize the spiritual values, but if I were to be clothed in an earthly body again and face everything earthly, it would be the same again. I would not be able to renounce the earthly and would again orient myself according to those merits. In order to reduce this danger, a life in the spiritual world would now have to be endured, in your terms, so that I can adapt to the spiritual conditions, get to know the spiritual order in all things. Only then, much later, when I have come to this knowledge, would the door to a new earthly life be opened to me again, so that I can test myself anew. So I am still in the spiritual realm, at the service of these heavenly messengers and fulfill my tasks to the best of my knowledge and conscience. I tried to fulfill these spiritual laws alone. I would like to learn as much as possible to lose my excessive appreciation of earthly values. I would like to at least build up my feelings in such a way that the spiritual becomes of great importance to me and I recognize that in this spiritual realm, those very actions, which are so superficially overlooked, are of great importance. It is so significant whether one comes to an agreement with another, whether one extends a hand to them, whether one maintains peace in one's immediate environment, whether one does everything to maintain it, whether one really tries to understand one's fellow human beings. So, dear brothers and sisters, I have told you something of my first impressions and so I would like to say goodbye to you and remind you that many of you will experience the same as me. people will talk about the great losses, that we have lost much of our spiritual heritage, then people will also talk about your good deeds. But finally people will also talk about the mistakes, and there are usually quite a few of them. May God give you the strength to come to the right understanding, to recognize what is right. Greetings. Joseph, greetings. Dear brothers and sisters, I am ready to answer questions that have arisen in you through this brother's conversation. Yes, dear Joseph, this example was indeed impressive in terms of attitudes and actions towards others. What interests me now is that only these actions were discussed, but not Sebastian's religiosity. His piety. What was his attitude? Joseph. Yes, I think he made a reference to this at the beginning. He went to church and tried to live up to the laws. He was a Christian, as there are countless others who do not have a particularly deep faith or a special connection to the divine world. But he was aware of God's laws and tried to live according to them. But it was precisely these weaknesses that overcame him. Dear Joseph, these deeds that Sebastian failed to do, are they also recorded in the spiritual field, or is it specifically noted by the spiritual world? Joseph, such things are simply in the book of life of every person, which cannot be raised and which one then recognizes in the spiritual world. It does not have to be specifically recorded, it is within oneself. I can perhaps explain it to you like this. You can remember certain deeds that were years or decades ago. You did not necessarily write them down. It is simply in your memory now. You do not know where it is. But it is experienced, and that is what it is. What you experienced then becomes apparent again in the spiritual world. Just as you can remember something, you then experience it in the same way in the spiritual world, because it cannot be raised. Dear Joseph, we can assume that Sebastian would have been stronger if he had imagined life after his departure from this world more truly and clearly. Then he might have gained more strength to fulfill his desires in the Christian sense. Joseph, yes, that is probably the case for everyone. If people knew about it, they would behave differently. Is it not the case that mistakes are made in this regard by the church's education? Joseph, yes. That is what will improve development, let's say, over time, that people will come to a better understanding when they become freer in their thinking and when the different religious denominations come closer together. I assume, dear friend Joseph, that Sebastian also had his fateful stages. Every person is shaken up a little by special strokes of fate in life, so that they make more of an effort afterwards. Joseph, yes. Every life has its stages that must be passed through. But through skill and wise management, men can improve many things. God has given this to man. If he manages things skillfully, he does not necessarily have to go through a difficult test. Of course, there are tests that absolutely have to be overcome. But there are also many things that are marked, which people can reduce through clever action, so that they do not come to the fore in their full severity. That depends on their skill on the one hand, and perhaps also on their faith and their attitude in general. You can see people as they are. One person blows something out of proportion and cannot deal with it, he keeps talking about it, and another, who experiences the same thing, does not say a word about it. Dear Joseph, many of our friends have heard what Sebastian said, and many will read it, and many will probably think of the harm they may have caused to a neighbor. Would it not be appropriate if they made amends for this damage now? Joseph, yes, that is the duty of every person or every Christian. When they realize what they have done wrong, they should make amends. End of the recording. Edition from the first publication in the magazine Geistige Welt. Is tolerance a measure of the development of the individual? Joseph, you can judge that by looking at your fellow human beings. Are they generous or petty? What is their mental attitude? From a person who is spiritually higher up, one can expect greater tolerance, greater understanding. From someone who is lower up, who is therefore in the process of ascending from the lowest levels, one cannot expect tolerance. He is, so to speak, driven into a corner. People must become more tolerant in every respect and not fight over small things. They must trust each other more, be more honest and not try to rule over the other. Report of the experience of the ascending spirit being Sebastian and answers to questions from spirit teacher Joseph by mediator Beatrice Brunner in the hall on Mar 1 Court in Kaldenstress, Zurich. Original, tape recording and first publication in the magazine Geistige Welt. Next case. July 4, 1962. Julius, the unfaithful steward. How Julius comes to the realization that a crime on earth cannot be undone and put right after death - encounters with unfortunate deceased people at the place of their misdeeds. Control Spirit, greetings from God. I am the Control. Dear brothers and sisters, we have chosen a being for you who tells of his first time after his passing. We are careful to always choose brothers and sisters who also teach you through their explanations, that is, their explanations are combined with instructions. You should not assume that what is being told you is perhaps of a lower nature, but you must be shown and explained what happens in general, what happens so often, what should give you an answer to various questions that you have. Today's report is also intended to give a specific answer as to why the departed are sometimes tied to a certain place on earth and why they do not leave this place. So it gives you the answer on one side. But you know that everything that is explained to you cannot be generalized, but that in one case or another the judgment will be different. We have taught this brother, who calls himself Julius, in such a way that he can explain it to you in a way that is easy to understand. So may God's blessing be upon you all in this hour. God bless you. Julius, God bless you. My dear friends, I have been commissioned to tell you what I experienced in the first time when I laid down my earthly body. Yes, when I opened my eyes in the afterlife, I was immediately full of fear. I did not expect to continue living in this way, and now my conscience or memory was with me. Everything I had done in life came back to my consciousness, came back to my memory. But now, I had done something in life that I should not have done, and that was my first thought when I woke up. Well, it's true that you live on and are held accountable for everything you have done. And I was only concerned with one thing, making amends for this guilt as quickly as possible. At first I had no concerns about having the opportunity to do so. Because if I could already remember all the things I had done, why shouldn't it be possible for me to do something and get things done and put things in order? They stood before me, these noble and sublime beings, and didn't say much to me. They just said that I should prepare myself, I would be held accountable for everything I had done, they would then call me after a certain time. But now I still had freedom and could do whatever I wanted. I thought, this is wonderful. My first thought was, this is truly God's goodness. He gives you another opportunity to put things right. It was clear to me that I was in a world where God rules, and it seemed quite understandable to me that what I had been taught, namely justice, love, tolerance, benevolence, was being fulfilled here. I had been led into this afterlife, and I had awakened in a place that I found just as beautiful as the earth. But I could not really explain things to myself and could not distinguish them. I also did not concern myself with them enough, but for me there was only one thought, what you have done wrong, you must put right as quickly as possible, and you must go back the way you came as quickly as possible. This path was illuminated, I could not be mistaken. I did see various other paths that probably led to completely different places, but they were not important to me now. The route I had taken to get here was important to me. So I took this route and it led to my village, where I lived and where I had done that deed. My first stop was the bank, where I had kept all my valuables and money. To make it clear to you, I was well respected as a person and people trusted me. So a woman once came to me, gave me a certain amount of money and said, I will give you this amount. Give me good interest on it. If I get sick, I want this money back, and without a long wait. If I need it, you must give it to me. Do you agree to that? And if I don't need this money and die, the woman in question had no relatives, you must give this money to a charitable cause. The woman died suddenly and no one knew anything about the money. People knew that she had money, but no one knew that she had deposited it with me. And I didn't have the strength to use this money for a charitable purpose, but I immediately considered it to be mine. I had arranged it beforehand so that no one knew anything about this money, because this woman had given it to me for certain reasons, for a certain calculation, she wanted to benefit from it. But then I added this money to my own, and I thought it was fine. Sometimes in the course of my life my conscience bothered me, but then I had every excuse for it. Sometimes I gave something to someone in need and said to myself, I have now given this in the name of this woman. But that was only a fraction of what the amount had been. Well, now I only wanted one thing, this money had to be used for these charitable purposes or a charitable purpose as quickly as possible. That seemed to me to be entirely possible. I had access to these securities, to the money, in the bank. Yes, I could even find my name in the books, but I didn't want to deal with that in the first place. I went to a bank clerk I knew, patted him on the shoulder and said to him, "You must now donate this amount to a charitable cause." He didn't do anything like that, as if he heard and felt me. I patted him firmly on the shoulder, I pulled his hair, he didn't do anything like that. Then I tried it in a different way. I took a form, the spiritual substance of it, and wrote on it what I wanted from him. I want, that is my wish, that this amount be donated to a charitable cause. I held this form up to his face. He didn't do anything like that. I put this form on the desk in front of him, but he just took a book and put it directly on top of it. So he didn't see it again. Then, when he had put the book down, I followed him and kept passing the form back and forth in front of his eyes. I kept telling him my name so that he could remember me. Nothing of the sort happened. So I had to experience the great disappointment that a person does not see what a spirit is doing to him, he does not see him. I had shaken this man, but it did not help. In fact, I had the feeling that my hands were going through his body. It did not help. What should I do? Because I did not want to go back under any circumstances before these things were done. Because I did not want to be ashamed in front of these others, these noble and sublime beings. What should they say to me? I had been told that I would then be called to account, but now I still had some freedom. So I believed that this freedom could be interpreted as meaning that I would still do things. Now I couldn't do it, and then I thought, now I'm sure I'll see this woman, and she'll blame me. What will happen to me? What happened to you? I embezzled money. No, I will not go back until I have done something about it, otherwise I could be punished much more in this other world. And then I simply stayed in this bank, it became my home. I constantly pestered the bank clerks, hoping that they would hear me, that they would be able to read what I had written. I wrote countless sheets of paper and put them everywhere in the hope that someone would be able to read them. Nothing. Nobody took them in their hands. So I knew, they don't see it, they don't see it. And so it became clear to me, men cannot see or grasp spiritual matter, while the spirit penetrates earthly matter. I could walk through people, even the furniture or the walls were no obstacle, nothing like that, you could walk through everything. There was no obstacle. Yes, it was something strange to experience this. If you have no idea about all these things, you are faced with new laws and don't know what to do. And there is no one there to help you. I did see others who had become entrenched in this house. There was a man, for example, who was in a corner and staring into space. There must have been something wrong with him too. I also saw others moving around with the money. They were busy with books and the like, studying the files and who knows what, but they were in the same situation as me, and they all had the same hope as me, things can still be sorted out, they can definitely still be sorted out. But it took too long. No one came, no one looked after me. But I had to realize that now and then such a noble figure, and by that I mean an angel of God, also came into this house and took one by the hand and walked with him back to the world beyond the same way that he had first gone up after laying aside his earthly body and then came back down again. So some of them were taken away, they had to go. I thought to myself, Not that. I don't want to be taken away. I still hoped that these things could be done. But then I could no longer stand being in this house and went through the village. I looked for others that I had known in life and who had also gone to the world beyond. I wanted to look around for people I knew. But there were so many faces to be seen. Some looked very good, others less so, and some looked like beggars or vagabonds. Then I looked at myself and thought, what do I look like? My guilt weighed on me. I had tried to live a normal life, but I had not been able to resist this temptation. I had not attached such great importance to it and had not thought that one could see this in the other world and that everything would become clear. So I was walking and I came to the old village well that I knew so well. There, I will say, sat a maid on the edge of this well and was always looking into the depths. She was always looking into the well. I did not know her, I had never seen her in her lifetime. I did not know how long she had been sitting on this well. I went to her and asked her, what are you looking for? Have you lost something? Then she began to moan and cry and said, can't you see my child? Which child? My child drowned in the well here. Your child? In this well? The well is not that deep. How old was your child? It was perhaps 2 hours old and it drowned here. Then I realized what she had done. So I asked her again, and what do you intend to do? What are you looking for now? Yes, I always think I will find the child. I want to take it out. But there was no child in the well and I told her, there is no child here. What do you see? Yes, the child must be in the well and I want it to be in my arms again. Then I said, yes, you will probably not succeed. Your child was taken out of the well long ago. It is definitely not here. Then I thought to myself and at the same time thought, what a horrible thing you have done. She continued to stare at the bottom of the well and thought she would find her child so that she could take it out again. Then I went on and just thought, oh, she has gone back again, to the exact place where she had committed her crime, and she wants to undo it too. She also believes that she can turn back the clock and simply undo the crime. After all, we are alive, why can't we then, having come to the better conviction not to commit such a crime, undo it? She didn't succeed either. But I just thought, poor thing, and then I went back. She was gone. I then came to a field path. I had walked up and down in this village and had seen all sorts of things. But now I will only tell you about the encounters with those who made a significant impression on me, who I stopped to see and who I talked to. One of them was in the middle of a field or meadow and was digging up the earth with his hands. I went up to him and asked him, what are you doing? I have to put the marker back, he said. Yes, why do you have to do that? Because I moved it. I have to put it back in its old place. I don't want to be ashamed in front of the others that I moved the marker at night. I asked him, yes, do you think you can do it? I won't leave this place until I have put this stone back where it belongs. Yes, I thought to myself, you too, you too. I didn't know him. How long had he been digging the earth with his hands? I asked him, how long have you been digging here with your hands? Don't you have any tools? No, I don't need any tools. I don't have any tools. I'm not interested in tools. This marker stone has to go back to its old place as quickly as possible. The poor man couldn't understand why he couldn't even get hold of this stone. He couldn't move it anymore. It was no longer possible. He didn't have the strength to move the earthly object, this marker stone. He couldn't do that. And I said to him, don't you think that this work is in vain? No, he said, it's not in vain, I'll manage. And if I'm here for 100 years, that doesn't matter. I won't go back until I've succeeded. Another one who thought he could make amends, just like me. I kept walking and came to the beautiful little stream that I had liked so much in life. It was so beautiful, it went right through the village. And I saw someone sitting on the edge of the stream. When he saw me, he waved to me from afar. And I thought, finally, someone who knows me. And it was someone I knew. but he had passed over into the spiritual world long before me. He was also surprised to see me and said, "What are you doing here? What are you asking about?" And I said, "I just want to see what's going on. I want to see what the village looks like from our spiritual standpoint, seen with our spiritual eye." I didn't tell him why I was on the hike. I asked him, "Well, why are you sitting there? And how long?" "You went over there," I thought back, "several years ago." "Yes," he said, "maybe. I don't know about the time, and I'm not interested in it either. But I like it here."
"Really?"
"Yes, it's beautiful," I thought. And then suddenly he stretched out both his hands, formed them like a cup and took some of the water and said to me, "Try the water, taste it. Isn't this water wonderful?" And I said, "Yes, of course. But I'm not thirsty, why should I drink this water here?" "Oh yes," he insisted, "try the water." And I thought, "I can do it if you really want to." Our hands went, how should I put it, through this water. We couldn't hold it at all, it was earthly matter again. But I then tried to move my hands back and forth in the water and put some of it in my mouth. And I said, "Yes, I think the water is good. I can't remember anything else except that the water is good."
"Isn't that right?"
he said. "The water is good after all." Then something suddenly occurred to me. Oh, it was a long time ago, but all of a sudden I remembered. It came to me like a flash. It was once said that the stream was poisoned and that this water had run into a well belonging to neighbor so and so, and that so and so had been injured there. Aha, something else. And I said to him, "Are you testing the water to see if it is good again now?" He was amazed and said, "Yes, the water was always good." And I said to him, "No, I know why you are here. You once put poison in this water, so much that it harmed them."
Yes, he had to admit it.
He had not only put poison into this beautiful little stream, which was so clear, but also all kinds of things that had harmed others, people and animals. I asked him, "What do you intend to do now?" "I know exactly, I still remember what you did to this stream." He had been hated and at odds with certain people. Now he answered me, "Yes, I wanted the water to be completely clear again." And I said to him, "You don't need to worry about it anymore. The water is clear again, very clear. But the deed you have done will remain." "No, no, no," he said, "that is not the case. The water is so fresh again, and so many are benefiting from this wonderful little stream again, and what you are saying is not true." I thought, "Well then, fine by me," and I left him again and said, "Good, you will now stay on the edge of this little stream until you come to better understanding." It was further proof to me that he too does not want to go back until these things have been resolved. But how? He could not resolve it among people. The people who were alive at that time were no longer interested in what had happened 30 years ago. Well, he stayed on the edge of this little stream and waited and waited. Then I went on and I saw that so many were burdened. Here and there someone was guilty, and it now had a completely different weight. It was not like on Earth, where it might have tormented you or you might have developed a conscience. Now that you had believed that you were free and redeemed from all unpleasantness and from all misdeeds, from all sins, you are bound to the guilt that you have brought upon yourself. You bind yourself to it. It was the same with me. I did not have enough strength to go back to where I had opened my spiritual eyes and say, "I have done this and I am waiting for your punishment." No, I believed that I could put things right. The maid did not have enough strength to say, "I have killed my child. I am ready to atone." No, she went to the well and waited and believed that there was liberation for her or redemption in some way, but the by the well and not in the other world, where she had been placed after she had laid aside her earthly body. Everyone had felt the same as me. Then I walked further and I was actually depressed, sad, not just about myself but about everyone else too. I was sad that as a human being you don't have the strength to act correctly, as you should. And I started to think, what was wrong that you just couldn't manage to live according to the true Christian principles?
The path led me further and I strolled along. A beautiful forest bordered the village and I thought I would find some peace in this forest. But there were many people in this forest. Some of them seemed quite happy to me, as if they were only here for a short time, for a certain stay. But then I met one who was walking back and forth.